Welcome to Fresnolandia. I'm Jordan Maddox.
I'm Donnie Bergstrom.
We have a great show for you today. We're going to start off with a couple announcements, both a voter guide and an upcoming forum, before then talking about some of the headlines this week. And then we have reporter Juliana Morano on to talk about a number of state laws that are going to affect us locally here in Fresno. And then we'll close with what we're loving this week. All right, we've got a couple announcements to share with you this week. The voter guide came out, which we promoed last week. Donnie, what should we know?
It's out, and we have a lot of information. We have everything from pretty detailed interviews with the candidates running for Fresno County Board of Supervisors to ballot measures on the local level to the race for Fresno City Council, school board candidates. It's got it all. If you want everything on their policy positions, you have it. If you just want to know who's making endorsements or opposing these candidates, we have that. If you want to know who's giving money to the candidates, we also have that. So check out our guide, fresnoland.org. We also are hosting a candidate forum this Friday night at CMAC. It's going to be streamed online for the Assembly District 27 race. That's with current Assemblywoman Esmeralda Soria and her opponent, Joanna Garcia-Rose. That district is a lot of Western Fresno, City of Fresno, Western Fresno County, Madera, Merced. Many of you may be in that district. We're going to have a lot of fun talking with the candidates about what they want to do in the district in the future.
All right, before we get into the meat of today's episode, we've got a couple headlines to cover. Back in June, we did a lot of coverage on the Paco debacle, I think is what we're calling it. And so the police department and the city are in search for a new police chief. Do we know anything about how that search is going?
They just hired a firm to start conducting the search, and the city is going to start hosting, I think, 4 online meetings this week. Information for those meetings is online, both on our website and on the city's website. They're launching a survey this week for people to fill out their preferences. So if you care about the next police chief, there's plenty of ways to get involved.
Do they have an estimate of how long the search will take, or do we have any information about that?
We don't have a lot of information at this point. I don't think they've committed to a specific time frame. Generally, these take a couple of months. But we do have an interim police chief, Mindy Casto, who's a veteran of the Fresno Police Department in charge right now.
Is she going to be in the race for the job?
I think that's assumed by political insiders, but I have not officially seen her name in the ring yet.
Okay. The other bit of news that we need to cover quickly here is the county has made some changes to their anti-camping ordinances. What have they changed?
Yeah, so the main thing they've changed is they're trying to prioritize where they enforce the new anti-camping ban, which, again, they don't say is targeted to homeless encampments, but it basically is. Okay. And so they're trying to prioritize places that are closer to schools, to community centers, to what they call like sensitive sites. And so that was the changes they made at the meeting this last week.
Okay. And those are being implemented immediately?
Yes. This week, we have Fresnoland reporter Juliana Morano here to discuss multiple stories that she's been covering this week. Welcome to the podcast, Juliana.
Thanks for having me back.
All right. So our first topic is one that has struck a chord with a lot of folks who read Fresnoland or listen to Fresnolandia, and it's Fresno County's quite controversial Parent Review Committee, or what is also known as the Book Ban Committee. So Juliana, there was a state law that was passed that muddled the waters for Fresno County. Can you give us a little bit background on what's going on here?
So back in November, the Fresno County Board of Supervisors narrowly approved the 11-member Community Parent and Guardian Review Committee that was supposed to form and then create a process where they would draft together group standards and then from there maintain a list of books that fail to meet those standards. And then subsequently, if a child wanted to check out a book that was off of that list of substandard books, they would have to receive explicit permission from their parents in order to do so. Okay, so that's what happened with Fresno County's review committee. However, when I reached out to Supervisor Steve Branda's office, who led the charge to have this committee get made, they let me know in August they had not appointed any members to that committee yet, even though they received over 100 applications, because they were waiting to see what would happen with Assembly Bill 1825, which has now passed and threatened the existence of this committee. So that bill was sponsored by Assemblymember Al Muritsuchi from Torrance, and it essentially bans book ban committees. It prevents citizens' committees or these external groups from assembling in order to determine books that are or are not age appropriate. Instead, it maintains that task should be for professionally trained librarians. Under this law, however, the assembly member in an interview emphasized to me, libraries are actually required to create policies about their collections and age appropriateness and so on that have to get approved by the state. But as he emphasized to me, really it's about making sure that's in the hands of librarians and not what he called politically appointed committees like the one in Fresno County.
Yeah, we see this happen all the time where they create, you know, legislation or policies or committees to enforce things that are already being enforced in other capacities just to politicize them. I mean, it just happens all the time. So, and it's frustrating because so many librarians are working so hard to curate books and are being thoughtful about when to push a child if they wander into a public library in a particular direction. But I've never experienced a librarian forcing explicit content on a child. It's one of those things where it's like, it stokes people's imagination, but in reality, I don't think it happens all that much. Kind of the fears that are behind something that leads to the creation of a committee like this.
Yeah. It's interesting. I know that we've reported on this in the past, that the Fresno County Committee was specifically really trying to target books that talked about sexual orientation, gender identity.
And the other component to this is, like, who should get to decide what access is? Like a small committee. Like, Julianne, how are these people appointed to this committee?
Each supervisor was able to review those applications submitted to the county, and each supervisor would appoint two members, and then I believe the county administrative officer would appoint the 11th member so that it would be an odd number. Supervisor Branda said the county is still weighing its options. He didn't say that the committee is scrapped for now. He said that one of their options, as always, is litigation, but he also said he's not going to beat a dead horse if they don't have a path to success. So they have not necessarily conceded in this case, but he said we'll find out possibly after the next Board of Supervisors meeting.
So let's talk about another state law that came down that's going to have an impact, a pretty significant impact potentially in Fresno. And that's a law that was signed by the governor a few weeks ago that requires that new industrial developments have a 300 up to 500 foot buffer around their facilities if they're next to schools, residential areas. And Juliana, you did some really interesting reporting on how basically no one that you talk to likes this bill.
Correct.
So tell us, why does industry groups, business groups, environmental justice groups, why does everyone hate it?
Yeah, so there are a couple reasons that I'll summarize. And we're talking about Assembly Bill 98. And Donnie said it establishes buffer zones around warehouses that are above a certain size, which is 250,000 square feet. On the business and economy side, there are a couple reasons that groups are opposing it. I heard from the Fresno EDC president, Will Oliver, is that they're concerned this is basically another hurdle for a lucrative industry that does create jobs to set up shop in Fresno. And others are also worried that it will have a disproportionate impact on Fresno County, just in terms of like land that's available to develop industrially and have these warehouses on. And that in the wake of this bill, because something I should mention too, there is a range in how large the required buffer zones will be. And that depends on how the land is zoned where a warehouse is planned. If the land is zoned industrial or for industrial use, that buffer is only required to be 300 feet between the warehouse loading bays and then sensitive sites, as the bill calls them, like homes, parks, schools, healthcare facilities. But if the land isn't zoned industrial, that's when the larger buffer kicks in. That's 500 feet. And so one person I spoke with, Henry Perea, who has consulted for the logistics industry, and he's also a former office holder in Fresno, he said that he can see these businesses pursuing agricultural land and kind of sites that are already further from homes and things as like the future of those developments, instead of having to comply with these standards.
What's the origins of this bill? Who's backing it?
So the bill, and this has been a criticism too, it was in some ways supposed to address the explosion of warehouses in the Inland Empire in Southern California. And what some people in Fresno have argued is this is like one size fits all. It doesn't really fit in like a more rural area of the state, and that it's more aimed at Inland Empire warehouses and the specificity of that. I'll also say that Fresno County Board of Supervisors Chairman Nathan Magsig wrote a letter to the governor asking him to kill the bill before he signed it, ultimately. And the concerns he was stating were about how he thinks this will impact like agricultural facilities that maybe weren't the actual target of this bill. There's also part of AB 98 calls for future warehouses to be built on roads that are mainly meant for commercial activity as opposed to like residential streets. So Magsig's letter was also saying, citing worries about, can we actually implement that with agricultural facilities?
I work at a school that's adjacent to a farm field where I can see crop dusting planes from my library. And that's like it.
But that there are
that's
real
horrible.
Implications.
I understand that. What I'm saying is like that we're having this discussion about this, but there are schools surrounded by agricultural fields that they're spraying pesticides, and pesticides leaking into the groundwater just like adjacent to this.
And that's why we have higher rates of cancer and other diseases. And I think so. This is the thing, right? If you look at the maps in Fresno of life expectancy, South Fresno neighborhoods, and certainly neighborhoods in like the industrial areas of Fresno, like South Central Fresno, where a lot of this debate is happening, I think their life expectancy is 20 years less than someone who lives in Northeast Fresno. And so it really does come back to zoning, land use, like people living next to freeways, people living next to truck routes. And a lot of schools and communities exist in these places next to industrial, partially because of environmental racism. In the 1920s, when a lot of these communities were built, we didn't have a mind to think, oh, maybe we shouldn't have a community next to a freeway. Maybe we shouldn't have a community next to a business, or what would eventually become a business park. And so now we're left with this like legacy, and it's really hard. You can't just, it's not easy to just move all the industrial facilities away from homes. It's not easy to just move the schools or the communities away. And it's a hard conversation, but I feel like as long as I've lived in Fresno, it's just been constant locking of horns.
I think I want people to take ownership of externalities, right? Because we all live here. And I've done a number of podcasts with people in the ag industry, and some of them are more forthright about the externalities of agriculture and some are not. But I think at this point, we all understand that they exist. And so I think acknowledging and then mitigation it should be the way forward. This maybe complicates that a little bit, but.
I also, that kind of brings me to what the concern is from environmental advocates in Fresno as well, because several groups have also opposed AB 98, but for completely different reasons. I spoke with Leadership Council, and their argument is that the buffer zones and the new standards don't go far enough. And they've cited both a UC Merced health study that was recently conducted for the city, looking at Fresno residents and their proximity to truck routes, which kind of ties into this conversation about the logistics industry. And that found that there was a higher risk of infant mortality and preterm births among residents in South Fresno, like you were referring to, which was linked to that proximity to trucks and that industry. But they've also referred to a September 2022 report from Rob Bonta's office, which also recommended 1,000-foot buffers between warehouse property lines and then homes, schools, parks, etc. So that they're referring to this guidance of 1,000 feet that's come from pretty authoritative sources recently and saying that these buffers fall far short of that.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think the outcome is just agricultural land, right? What else is there?
Well, you could design the sites in a way that honors the buffers. 300 feet is definitely a buffer, but I think creative site design, strategic land acquisition. I'm not in the weeds on the specific properties that are getting affected at this point, but as we've seen with so many state laws and federal laws and local laws that have passed over the years, people either find a way to mitigate or they move. And I've heard the threat of industry leaving Fresno for as long as I can remember.
Yeah. Will it what are you going to do? Like we have to prioritize people's health at the end of the day, but we also need to make legislation that makes sense for industry. And we have to thread that needle.
It's a rough needle to thread, and props to people who are in the arena fighting that and figuring it out. But I wish that we would have slightly more nuanced conversations about it.
Yeah. Remember, Sweetums didn't leave Pawnee. They absolutely didn't. They stayed. Even though Bobby didn't win.
The last thing on our agenda to talk with Juliana is a question. If you live in the Tower District, could one of our city council members be your landlords? And the answer is possibly, because we learned that a majority of the city council own property in the Tower District. And so tell us how that complicated some stuff at council this last week.
Yeah, there was a hearing. It's now been continued to November 7th, so this conversation will continue. But there was a hearing on the Tower District specific plan, which has been in the works for a while. Essentially, what the council needs to do in order for it to move forward is they have to, quote, initiate it, which allows the environmental review process to begin. So that's what they were talking about at the city council meeting on Thursday. But then it turned into this drawing lots kind of thing, because normally, owning property within the boundaries of the plan would force council members to have to recuse themselves from the vote. But the meeting revealed that 5 out of 7 of the council members own property in the plan's scope. So they had to use this process that the council president said they've never used before to determine which 2 of the 5 conflicted out members got to still vote so that they can maintain a quorum of 4 and do their business as usual.
Do we have any of these rental properties? What do they own?
So only 2 of the 5 said that the property was their primary residence. That was Miguel Arias and Nelson Esparza. So the rest of them, they didn't specify whether they were rentals.
We did locate one of the properties on the city's rental registry. This question has come up before in previous reporting, and there's this question of if a majority of the city council are landlords generally, not just in the Tower, what does that mean about their ability to consider pro-tenant legislation? And so the council has refused to have a conversation on the dais about rent control, which has been a top policy priority for most tenant advocates in Fresno, I think, I would argue. And it's one thing for them to have a discussion and then to commission studies or whatever and then say, yeah, we don't think this is right for a lot of reasons, but they won't talk about it. It's completely off the table.
Yikes.
And I've talked to ethics experts who are like, that doesn't look great.
Politicians always have conflicts of interest. That is just the nature of the business. And so I bring it up just to say that in some ways, conflict of interest is unavoidable, but it should be declared, right? Mm-hmm. It should be declared, because we lose our faith in local government if they don't declare it.
There's an ethics expert at the University of Santa Clara who specializes in ethics around local governments. And we've talked to him multiple times on different stories. And I asked him this question around landlord representation on the city council and what that means. And it's, you're right, conflicts of interest are inevitable. Disclosure is essential. And it's not just about disclosure. It's when does that disclosure or when does that conflict create a trust issue,
yeah,
or a perceived breach of trust? And we have to think about that at Fresno Land too. If we took money from all sorts of interests that have really powerful influence in Fresno and we disclosed it, like technically we'd be doing the right thing. Would we create some issues of trust with people? Absolutely. And so I think you always have to take that into consideration as well.
Okay. Just on that note of disclosing, I'll just add that the 5 Tower District property owners are Annalisa Perea, Mike Carbasi, Miguel Arias, Nelson Esparza, and Luis Chavez. The only 2 without property in Tower were Tyler Maxwell and Gary Bredfeld.
We're going to close today with our favorite segment, which is what we're loving this week. We're going to start with Juliana. Juliana, what are you loving this week?
Okay, I just have to instinctively say the movie The Substance. I didn't see it like super recently, but yes, I loved it so much. Oh my God.
Yeah, before we started recording, Juliana and I were sharing our various perspectives on Megalopolis. So like wild bad movies is on the tip of our tongue right now. So tell people about The Substance.
This is a wild good movie, let me say. Okay, some people have criticized it as being too on the nose, but I think after seeing it, I disagree. It's how I described it was like a sicko's fairy tale. It's about Demi Moore as the lead. She's this used to be an aerobics instructor, has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, but is getting replaced by a younger host. And then she finds out about this thing called The Substance that she can take, and it will basically split her into 2 people, and one is like a younger version of herself played by Margaret Qualley. But it's 7 weeks on as the older half, 7 weeks on as the younger half. And it's so gory, so like violent, but to the point of like absurdity, so it's almost funny. Mm. But it's about like body image and I don't know, it spoke to me as a woman. So,
do you watch a lot of horror movies in October?
No.
Okay.
All right. I don't, but
Donnie, are you a horror movie person?
No.
Okay, am I the only one here?
I don't touch horror.
Okay, I don't love the more modern kind of just like gore porn, whatever they are, where it's just a lot of disgusting. But I do some of the older, like the original Halloween, because it's so well paced and slow, and you just like get comfortable. And then he comes. And I love that experience. But a lot of horror movies today don't do that. I did watch one, I'm forgetting the name right now, but I think it's called In the State of Nature. Have you heard of this, Juliana? So it's
In a Violent Nature?
In a Violent Nature.
Yes.
Yes. Did you watch that one?
No, but I've heard of it.
So it's essentially, it's like a monster creator, or let me restart. There's like a monster character, but it's like beautiful, like nature scenes. And you're literally, the camera just is behind his head, like you're playing a video game and you're just watching this monster move through the forest and kill some kind of vain 20 somethings. And it was enjoyable. It was beautiful. It was gruesome. And I only really watch horror movies like September, October, and then the rest of the year, I just stay away from them. So Donnie, what are you loving this week?
Not horror movies.
Okay.
Let's see. Frida Cafe has a pop-up in Bespoke downtown.
Ooh.
Have you been to Frida Cafe?
Yes, but I haven't been to Bespoke, actually.
So I haven't either, although everyone raves about it. But the interior is beautiful. Mm. And if you want a really cozy library, old school vibe, go there. But now they have Frida Cafe, so you can get your coffee and like work there in the daytime. It's wonderful.
That sounds fantastic.
I didn't know they had coffee. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
For me this week, it's the fall, so the Great British Baking Show is back. And mm-hmm. So I'm back in my safe place. This season has been great. They're doing new things. They are not going to make tacos again. this a couple years ago. I think they were trying to reach out to different cultures and try their foods, and they tried to make tacos UK style. It was not great.
What is a UK style taco?
They just basically, I think they took every ingredient that they thought was like Mexican food and just piled it on the taco. It was horrible. And they were saying tacos with the elongated A at taco. And it was just, it almost made me turn off the show. This year they're back to their old ways, but they're also trying new fun things. I always look forward to the start of it in the fall. It corresponds with the weather cooling down. And so it's just like when we talked about football, about when football starts, you get the sense that the weather's cooling and we're entering that holiday season that a lot of us enjoy. That's what we're loving this week. This has been Fresnolandia. I'm Jordan Maddox.
I'm Donnie Bergstrom. And this podcast was recorded at Sun Stereo Warehouse in downtown Fresno. Audio editing and mixing was done by Jordan Maddox. Our lead image comes from Vaughn Ballinan, and our song comes from Stateless Rat.